Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Curley Show. Once again, a lot to get to today. Stay strong. Tomorrow's Friday. There's one more day of this lunacy that seems to be never ending. And I want to start with a little message to all the people, and they might not be listening, but you all probably know somebody like this in your life. And they're the people who wanted normalcy back. They wanted less mean tweets. They wanted more dogs in the White House. They wanted more articles about ice cream and less articles about mamas and babies being ripped apart at the border. Well, I just want to say to all those people, congratulations. Because today it was revealed, to my shock and to my chagrin, that the Democrats want to pack the Supreme Court. Who would have guessed? Who would have thought? I mean, they told us this. We knew this going in. But it's still funny to see some of those people who voted for Joe Biden, not because they enjoyed the radical left takeover, but because it made them feel good. You know, that's something I come back to a lot. A lot of what Democrats do, it's not about plans or policies or, you know, helping your wallet or helping your life. It's about what makes them feel good. And so if you know someone who voted for Biden because of that, and now they're starting to say, this seems pretty intense. I mean, adding four seats to the Supreme Court, that seems like a bad idea. Feel free to say, yeah, told you so. Or when that person calls you up and goes, have you seen the price of gas lately? Mm-hmm. But there's two German shepherds going back and forth from Delaware to the White House in between bites.
Please clap.
And that makes it all okay. I just have to say, though, that Nancy Pelosi just came out. Do we have sound of that, Jared? She came out and she said she's not going to bring this to the floor. And if you miss this, the bill is it's a whopper of a bill. But what makes it even better is that it's co-sponsored by Jerry Nadler and Ed Markey. Okay? I mean, what more do you really need to know? And let's first play Nancy Pelosi. She came out today, kind of a surprising move. She did not say that she doesn't. I guess what she's trying to say is even though she doesn't support packing the court, she supports Biden looking into maybe packing the court. So once again, she's trying to appear semi-normal and that, but also without offending the AOCs and the Ed Markeys of her party. Let's play this.
Do you support Jerry Nadler's bill to expand the Supreme Court by four seats? And would you commit to bringing that bill to the floor?
No. I support the president's commission to study such a proposal.
Yeah, well, that should tell you a lot. I mean, if Nancy Pelosi's not on board, I'm guessing the polling on this, the internal polling, was devastating for her to have to come out and say, this is a little bit much. But what it really reminds me of is the Green New Deal, because when Ed Markey and AOC came out with that, they were so excited. I remember there was pictures of them hugging each other. And, you know, it was such a wonderful moment. It was the young radical and the old radical getting together. And he's not even a radical. He's just clinging on for dear life to his job. He does not want to get the boot. So he's teamed up with the most progressive people he can find. And to his credit, he beat a Kennedy. It's clearly working for him. But when they first came out with the Green New Deal, it cracked me up because Mitch McConnell at the time was the Senate Majority Leader, and he called their bluff and he said, okay, you know, cow farts and eliminating air travel, great. If that's what you guys want, all these great, fabulous ideas, let's put it to a vote. And you guys remember this, Mazie Hirono and some more senators and congresswomen and congressmen and all the politicians freaked out. They could not believe that Republicans wanted them to vote on their own idea. How dare they? How dare they? We have these wonderful, life-changing ideas, and you want us to vote on it? It's humiliating. And this is the same thing. They throw it out to their base. It's red meat for all the people on Twitter, the same people who are like obsessed with the All-Star game, who've never watched an All-Star game in their life, but they're obsessed with getting it moved. Now, and then the same people who said boycott the Masters, and the same people who are now mad at Coca-Cola for kind of walking back their wokeness. These same people, that's who this is for. It's just a little bit of outreach to them to say, we hear you. We're still crazy. We're still going to be so crazy for you. And the part of this that kind of cracks me up is that as far as the Supreme Court goes, I understand their thought process to a certain extent. They have felt for a long time, Democrats, that they had a lot to worry about. And that's what they were saying. They were saying it's going to be the end-all be-all for Democrats because for the next 50 years, we have a conservative majority in the Supreme Court. But as far as I can see so far, the only people who end up disappointed by the Supreme Court are conservatives. They seem to, you know, they seem to treat the liberals pretty fairly, but still that's not enough. They want to pack it. And I mean, you got to know when a bill is co-sponsored by Ed Markey, or as Howie likes to call him, Mr. Frosty. I mean, this guy puts his name on some real winners. But what do we expect? I mean, again, Joe Biden is the president. He is the Trojan horse for the insane progressives. He's just doing what he's told. So even though Pelosi says that she doesn't support it, but she supports Biden looking into it, if you feel good about that, you're crazy. Because if you heard Joe Biden when he was running for president, if you heard him avoiding the question of whether or not he would pack the Supreme Court, and you didn't know from his answers, from his hemming and hawing and his, you know, ducking questions left and right, and the fact that the only person who could kind of get an answer out of him was a regional journalist, just a local reporter who happened to ask it. If you watched all those cuts and you did not think to yourself, this guy will absolutely pack the Supreme Court if he gets the chance, then you deserve Joe Biden as your president, because that is idiotic. If you watch this guy for more than 5 seconds when he was asked about the Supreme Court, you should know that this was always a possibility. In fact, it was a probability because he just wants to make them happy. He just wants to make them happy so that he gets his little bowl of ice cream at the end of the night and he can, maybe they'll let him stoke the fire a time or two. What more can you ask for? We'll play some of those old cuts of Joe Biden. It cracked me up because at one point he actually said, when asked about packing the Supreme Court, I'll answer the question before the election. And the election came and went, and he never answered the question. And when you really think about a few things that you should know about a candidate before they become president, that's up there. I mean, that is up there with figuring out where your guy stands is whether or not they want to pack the Supreme Court of the United States. But we never got an answer. But guess what, guys? We're going to get an answer. We're going to get an answer throughout the next couple months and throughout the next couple years. We will get an answer from Joe Biden on this. Now, I want to take your calls on it. We have Eddie Zipperer coming up at 12:30. He wrote a great op-ed for the Boston Herald. He'll be talking to us about the Supreme Court. And then we also have some updates from Dr. Fauci. He had a standoff today with Jim Jordan. It was beautiful. He said, "This is not a liberty thing for me, Congressman." And Jim Jordan said, "Yeah, I can tell. I can tell, because none of us have had liberty for the last year. And you're the president of the United States, so it makes sense, Dr. Fauci." Now, since I was in my early 20s, I have to let you guys know I have struggled a little bit with acid reflux. Not even a little bit. There's been some times where it's been a lot. Because I love coffee. I got my Covfefe coffee right here. I love chocolate. I love salsa. I love every food that gives you acid reflux. And they're big trigger foods. So a lot of times, you know, I go on these sites and they'd say, "Oh, just don't eat that stuff anymore." That's never going to happen. But I had to find something that would help me fix it. And nothing really helped long term until I found Balance 7. It's the one-stop shopping to help increase your energy levels, aid in digestion, heartburn, and so much more. Check out Balance7.com and learn why balancing your body is so important for the performance of your immune system. Simply drink a total of 3 ounces a day, and within 72 hours, most people begin to have more energy, greater clarity of thought, and just feel healthier overall. Order your 1 month supply at balance7.com. Use code word GRACEFREE to save $10 off your first order and get free shipping. Be one of the first 50 to purchase Balance 7 and receive Smooth Skin, an exfoliant and deep cleansing skin conditioner valued at $13.99 for free. If you struggle with acid reflux or heartburn, you've probably tried it all. Well, I can tell you that none of it compares to Balance 7. Order now and receive $10 off your first order of a 30-day supply. Get free shipping and a chance to receive Smooth Skin, an exfoliant and deep cleansing skin conditioner for free. Guys, I see you on the phone lines. We will take your calls. What do you think? I'm personally terrified of this idea, because even though Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, a lot of them have disappointed me in the past, I still like knowing that they're there and that it's something we can count on at the end of the day. We'll be back after this, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
And some people will say we're packing the court. We're not packing it. We're unpacking it.
How does that work? Is court packing infrastructure?
Of course court packing is infrastructure.
They want to move the goalposts here. They want to have, instead of 9 Supreme Court justices, they'd like to have 13. And I saw a lot of people bring up a great point, which is, why just add 4? Why not 40? Why not 400? Why not 4,000? What's stopping us?
Does 13 judges and justices really sound supreme to anyone?
These are the Supremes. It's funny too, because a lot of these judges who we really thought were gonna, you know, the left spent so much time telling you how terrible they were gonna be and how much they were gonna reverse us back to the what did Hillary Clinton say at one point? She said they're going to reverse us back to the it was some sort of age. I don't know, maybe the Neanderthals. And it turns out that, you know, they all pretty much go along to get along, as far as I can see. I haven't been blown away by anyone on the Supreme Court, at least not anyone recent. Mark, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I'd like to set Democrat hair on fire. So I'd like to pack the, I got a plan for packing the House and the Senate and the Electoral College.
Why not?
And the White House. Yeah, and the plan is to divide every state into half, so that the new state is a Republican state. So like upstate, northern Maine, northern New Hampshire, upstate New York, downstate Illinois. Blah, blah, blah. And that 100 states with 100 new Republican senators. And
you know what? I think that is only right. And it's the only way to. And you're not packing them, Mark. I just want to be clear here. You're unpacking them. You're not packing the Senate or the House. You're unpacking them. I should mention my favorite Supreme Court justice, because I'm giving them a bad rap right now. But Clarence Thomas is awesome. I mean, he's the only one who seems to be actually conservative. Now, speaking of the Supreme Court, we do have to go over some of these flashbacks. I don't know if you guys remember this, but at one point, there was a little bit of an urge from potential voters to find out where Joe Biden, where he stood on packing the Supreme Court. And all of these look pretty great, but I think we'll start with cut 11, please, Jared.
What I wanted to do, George, you know, if I had answered the question directly, then all the focus would be on what's Biden going to do if he wins, instead of on, is it appropriate what is going on now? And it should stay, this is the thing that the president loves to do. Always take our eye off the ball. What's at stake?
It's a distraction to know where he stands on this important issue. That was his take, and it worked. I mean, obviously. I also love cut 9.
They'll know my opinion of court packing when the election is over. Now, look, I know it's a great question, y'all, and I don't blame you for asking it. But you know, the moment I answer that question, the headline in every one of your papers will be about that. Other than focusing on what's happening now, the election has begun. There's never been a court appointment once an election begun, but 4 million or so people have already voted. They're denying the American people the one shot they have under constitutional law to be able to have their input.
But let's not forget, arguably my favorite cut, which I believe was from a local reporter who asked him this, when he just flat out said, he got confident as the campaign went on, and he just, you know, told people the truth that you don't deserve to know whether or not he wants to pack the Supreme Court. Cut 8.
Sir, I've got to ask you about packing the courts, and I know that
Sure. You
said yesterday you aren't going to answer the question until after the election, but this is the number one thing that I've been asked about from viewers in the past couple of days.
Well, you've been asked by the viewers who are probably Republicans who don't want me continuing to talk about what they're doing to the court right now.
Well, sir, don't the voters deserve to know
where he's standing? No, they don't. I'm not going to play his game.
It all comes back to Trump, and that's actually a great lesson for people. You know, if someone's asking you a tough question, if you find yourself in the court of law, you can just say, I am not going to answer that, because then if I answer that, that becomes the headline. And I'm playing Trump's game by answering that question. It's amazing. It's really amazing. And I just want to say one more time, it's amazing people voted for this man. I will never get over that. That will never stop blowing my mind, especially the never Trumpers who claim to be conservatives. And now we're like, I can't believe this. This is really bad. He really, really should, you know, they shouldn't be on board with this. What do you think you were going to get? Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which Ed Markey co-sponsored bill is worse, the Green New Deal or the court packing bill?
The Green New Deal was stupid for a variety of reasons. I mean, they wanted to cut back on air travel. There was something about cow farts in the original version that went leaked online.
That bridge to Hawaii would have been sweet, though.
Oh, it would have been amazing. But this one is scarier, because this one could really change the future of the country. Whereas I think the Green New Deal was just going to be, you know, more money being flushed down the tubes. I'm going to say the court packing.
76% say the court packing bill.
All right, guys, when we get back, I will be talking to Eddie Zipperer about all of this. Any of your questions, feel free to text them in to 63566. Still start the text with the word Howie, and I'll ask Eddie. I'm curious. I mean, what do people think about this? I think it's insane. I think Biden's going to wait on it as long as he can, but it might be just a distraction from the challenge at the border. We'll be back on the other side with Eddie Zipperer. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. So since I started this show in January, there's so many topics in the news, and believe it or not, I am not an expert in all of them. There's only so much I can hold in this balloon head of mine, as one of my favorite callers likes to call it. So what I try to do is, especially on a day like today, I like to bring on people who really understand a topic and really have a good background on it, which is why I wanted to talk to Eddie Zipper. He wrote a great op-ed in the Boston Herald, which you guys know is my favorite paper. And I wanted to bring on Eddie to talk a little bit about the history of the Supreme Court, especially today when it seems like all of these reforms, and I'm putting that in quotes as Eddie did, are really, really putting our democracy and the future of the country at risk. I don't think I'm being too dramatic when I say that. Eddie, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Hey, Grace, thanks for having me on.
All right, Eddie, let's start, because I like how you formatted this to kind of go through the evolution of the Supreme Court. And you talk about how the most obvious reform is court packing. That is a big news story today. But let's talk a little bit about the number nine and how that's fluctuated over the last few years, over the last few decades, I should say. Go ahead, Eddie.
Usually when you hear people talk about this, they'll say it's been nine justices since 1869, but that's actually missing half of the story. It's actually, it was first nine justices in 1837 when, like, Andrew Jackson was president when it became nine justices. And then there were always nine justices until Andrew Johnson became president. When Andrew Johnson became president, the radical Republicans in Congress had this giant supermajority. So they actually lowered the number to seven to ensure that Andrew Johnson would not be able to place anyone on the court. He would not be able to appoint any justices. Then when Johnson was gone and Ulysses S. Grant was president, that's when they raised it back to nine.
Right. Now, There's a part of this that I find interesting, and that's when FDR came into play and what he tried to do with this, which even Joe Biden has called a power grab. Can you explain that to my listeners a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. When Roosevelt was trying to get his New Deal through in the 1930s, he ran into a problem, which is that most of it was unconstitutional. That's because people think of the federal government as being a unitary government. It can just, you know, pass whatever laws it wants. But actually, that's not how it works at all. There's a list in the Constitution of what the federal government is allowed to do, powers that belong to them. Everything else belongs to the states. So FDR was trying to do all these things that were actually state powers. So the Supreme Court kept shooting them down. So FDR decided that he was going to pack the court. He was going to add seats to the Supreme Court for the first time since 1837. So it had been 100 years since anybody had added seats to the Supreme Court, but he decided that he was going to do it. And the point of it was so that he could put a bunch of justices on who would rubber stamp his New Deal agenda, whether it was constitutional or not. It was wildly unpopular. I mean, you can imagine the electoral map when Roosevelt had just been elected. The electoral map was, it had two red states on it. Two red states up in New England. I think it was like Maine and Vermont or something like that. And the whole rest of the country was blue. So this was a guy who had a clear mandate. And even then, people did not like that he was going to pack the Supreme Court full of people to rubber stamp his agenda. Well, it failed, but it actually didn't really fail, because what happened was that he scared the Supreme Court, and justices on the Supreme Court, they wanted to save the court. So what was the way to save the court? Well, one of the justices switched and decided that, you know, suddenly he was on the other side of the opinion. Suddenly he thought that these things were constitutional. It's famously called That was a justice named Roberts, I believe, and that was famously called the switch in time that saved nine, as in nine justices.
Now, Eddie, you write in this that Biden himself has referred to Roosevelt's reform strategy as corrupt and a power grab, but now he's putting together a group to study or, you know, look into the idea of expanding the Supreme Court. So do you find that interesting that he's had a sudden shift?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. If you look at those comments, he said in 1983, so we're going way back, 1983, he said that it was boneheaded, and then in 2005, a full, 22 years later, he was saying it was corrupt, it was a power grab. He spent most of his career, criticizing Roosevelt for that court-packing argument. He also said that it damaged the Supreme Court for a full decade. The attempt that Roosevelt made damaged the court for a decade. So he knows it. I don't believe that Biden wants to pack the court. I believe that he's just sort of going through the motions, putting together a commission. He doesn't really have any intention. That's just a guess. But what really interested me about this is it really undermines President Biden when Congress comes along and says, well, you know what? You have your commission, whatever. We have a bill to pack the court right now. Like, that undermines Biden's leadership because he says we need a commission to look at it first. Congress says, no, we don't want that. We just want to pack it now.
Well, it kind of, in my mind, Eddie, it just is really emblematic of their entire problem where they try to appease the left in some small way. And, you know, the far left radicals like AOC, to their credit, they just push that aside and say, oh, no, we don't have time for that. We don't have time for commissions and studies. We want this now. They're like the girl in Willy Wonka. I want it now. And I'm shocked that Biden hasn't figured that out. And Eddie, to what I've been noticing lately is that people will say, oh, I don't think he'll actually really do it. But the more I see of the stuff he will do, I'm like, I don't know. I wouldn't put it past him.
Well, you know, I really don't believe that they could get it through. I mean, you might be right about that. There's no, you can't look at Joe Biden 10 years ago and draw conclusions about Joe Biden now because he doesn't believe the same thing.
Right.
Just like 1 minute on the court packing, he's calling it boneheaded, a power grab, corrupt, and that now there needs to be a commission to find out if it's good or bad. He's like that on a lot of issues. It's not just the Supreme Court at all.
Yeah, no, and the last thing I want to ask you about, Eddie, is a quick question about these term limits, because sometimes if you look at what the left is saying about what they want to do to the Supreme Court, you mentioned in your piece it's more than just packing it. They also want, you know, major reforms, and one of those is term limits. But you bring up a great point about why term limits are so dangerous and why the framers didn't want them. And can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. The problem with term limits, and this is Alexander Hamilton, one of the framers of the Constitution, in Federalist Number 78. He says that the greatest way to ensure an independent spirit in the judges is to make sure that they have lifetime terms, which are granted to them by the Constitution. And so the reason for that is you don't want a Supreme Court justice calculating how they decide cases based on, well, maybe when I'm done with this, I'll run for office, or maybe when I'm done with this, I'll be president, or I'll be, a senator. You don't want them planning for afterward because, you know, say a judge says, well, I'm going to be kicked out of here for my term will be up in a couple of years, and I want to run for the Senate when I'm done with this. So I'm going to need to raise money. I'm going to need to make all the right people happy. I'm going to need to have voters from whatever party be happy with me. Now suddenly all of their decisions are based on politics, because their term's going to run out and they have an idea for what to do next.
Right, and you bring up 2020 in the election and how they actually did not do what a lot of conservatives probably would have guessed they would have done, and that just goes to show you it's because they do feel comfortable enough to actually vote based off what they think and not what, you know, their supporters are going to support.
Absolutely, and the Supreme Court's approval rating among Republicans dropped significantly after they refused to hear those cases. You couldn't take a hit like that if you wanted to have a political future. But luckily, they don't because they all have lifetime terms.
Exactly. Eddie Zipper, thank you so much for joining us. Eddie has a great piece out in the Boston Herald. I'll tweet it out from my account. I'm sending him the hard copy today. Eddie, what is your Twitter handle if people want to follow you? Because you're very popular on Twitter.
Is it at Eddie Zipper? That's Zipper with two E-R's.
Yes, Zipperer. Thank you, Eddie, so much. We hope to have you on the show again soon. By the way, guys, allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and you're going to want to open those doors and windows. Pollen is going to come in, and when it does, you're going to need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. I also use a Thunderstorm in my kitchen after I cook, and there's a lot of, you know, after you cook a steak or chicken, there's usually a lot of smells that you want to get rid of right after, and it's great for that. But Jared uses it because he has bad allergies.
I do, and it is especially bad this year, and the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is great, and what I love about it is it's a small unit, and you really, you get it, you plug it in, you turn it on, and it gets to work right away. And what it does is, you know, you hear about air fresheners or things that will release a scent. No, this doesn't cover up the air around you. It actually cleans the air around you, like a thunderstorm does naturally. That's why they call it the thunderstorm. So what it does is it ionizes the air, and that gets rid of allergens, which is huge for me. It gets rid of odors. It gets rid of pollutants. It gets rid of some viruses. And you're breathing clean air, which is a huge deal for somebody who has trouble breathing with seasonal allergies.
And there's a huge deal right now because you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. With the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, your problem rooms will no longer be a problem. We'll be back on the other side. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. A lot of news to get to. Project Veritas has more footage out of their CNN staffer, Charlie Chester, talking about the numbers. You know how Howie always talks about how they like to have the little graphic on the side telling you how many people have died of COVID. And Howie gets criticism from people who are like, oh, you know, they're not keeping it as a death toll for ratings. They're doing it because it's important. Well, no, they're actually doing it for precisely that reason. Charlie Chester said, you know what? I'm going to play it for you guys. He's a CNN director, and he talks about how the COVID number on the screen is good for ratings. At one point, he even says he was rallying for higher numbers. Cut two.
Sad news, back to back to back, doesn't do really well unless it affects them directly. COVID, gangbusters of ratings, right? Which is why we constantly have the death toll on the side, which I have a major problem with, that we're tallying how many people die every day. Because I've even looked at it and be like, let's make it higher. Like, why isn't it high enough, you know, today? Like, it would make our point better if it was higher. And I'm like, what am I rallying for? That's a problem.
Yeah.
That we're doing that, you know? Like, the special red phone ringing.
Yeah.
And they pick it up. And it's like the head of the network being like, There's nothing that you're doing right now that makes me want to stick. Put the numbers back up, because that's the most enticing thing that we have. So put it back up. So like things like that are constantly talked about.
Now, that last part's a little hard to hear. He's saying that the head of CNN would call them up on a special red phone and say, the numbers, you know, nothing you're doing is making me stick. In other words, I want to change the channel, so make sure you put the numbers back up to keep people watching. And Jared just informed me there's actually more Project Veritas cuts, but and we'll get to those. They're about white people shooting people versus black people shooting people.
Yeah, they talk about how they intentionally, nothing we don't know, but they intentionally downplay shootings if the shooter isn't white, pretty much.
Huh. Well,
I'll shocking,
be.
I know. But
I'll
hey,
be.
Down, upplaying white supremacist shooting is infrastructure, so.
But I think that we should know that this guy, Charlie Chester, the reason, usually what happens is they'll put an intern in into a Democratic operation, whether it's a campaign or a network, and they'll eventually gain enough trust where they'll start recording some of the higher ups talking about how the operation really works. But in this case, this guy, Charlie Chester, he was actually on dates with this person. He went on 5 Tinder dates, which I did not know that Tinder was still such a popular app with the youth. But he was on 5 Tinder dates and the girl was recording him. And it just kind of goes back to something I really, really feel in life, which is trust no one. Trust no one. You have to be, to reveal that level of damaging information about yourself, the fact that you're rallying for high COVID death numbers, and your company, you got to have marriage on the brain with the person you're with. It can't. That's not a date 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 conversation. That is, you know, walking down the aisle status. So this guy got completely screwed. I mean, he thinks he's going on a date. He probably was like, I wonder why that girl never called me. And then he sees this piece. Oh.
Well, at least it wasn't me.
Ugh, yikes. And guys, when we get back on the other side, I'll be taking your calls. I do want to talk about what's happening in Minnesota. I don't know if you saw this, but last night there was more chaos. A man was parading a pig's head in a cop's hat on a stake during protests in Minnesota. And also a CNN crew member was attacked by rioters in Brooklyn Center. He actually had a water bottle thrown at him and he fell back. And then he got back up and said, I'm fine. I'm good. And then CNN was chased out of there. People throwing eggs at them, water bottles. And it's not that, I think that's terrible. I think violence of any kind is terrible. But for me, and it's similar to what a guest we had on yesterday said, blanking on who it was who said this, but it's the fact, oh, it was Freddie Gray from Spectator. It's the fact that these media people still love the rioters so much. Like they're getting punched in the face and they're like, and we want equal justice. They'll just repeat whatever. They're getting hit in the head with water bottles. And their immediate reaction is, you guys are so brave. You are so brave.
And that's what people don't understand, especially liberals. When they talk about they want to get rid of white supremacy, they see white liberals as white supremacy, too. It's not just the Republicans.
Yeah, right.
They're coming for you as well.
Like Antifa is not going to give you a pass someday from a concrete milkshake because you have a hate has no home here sign on your front lawn or a water is life sign. That's not giving you the pass that you think it is. When we get back, I'll take your calls on that. We will keep talking about the Supreme Court and we'll play some more of those CNN cuts. We're also going to talk about COVID, the perpetual pandemic, and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Call in 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.